we're going to turn now to his shadow counterpart, John O'Dunham, who is the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs. John O'Dunham, welcome back.
Melissa, thanks for having me.
Does the opposition support the gun law reform options outlined by National Cabinet yesterday, things like limiting gun ownership to citizens and limiting the number of guns that can be owned by any one person?
Well, I think we have to see what the states and territories come back with. I mean, what was agreed yesterday was that state and territory governments would go away and look at options relating to those broad areas of work. Of course, changes to gun laws that prevent serious incidents like this from happening will always be welcome. But I think it's important for us to see the detail. But what a change to gun laws won't do is stamp out anti-Semitism. And that was the driver behind these attacks. And we can't forget that. Fixing the gun laws in some way will not prevent from happening what happened yesterday. If it's not guns, it's explosive devices, it's knives, it's other forms of attack weapons. And I think we need to remember that as we move forward. But look, let's see the detail of what the state and territory governments come back with and make an informed decision then.
We just heard Tony Burke say that whilst they're going away to look at the detail, that there was a strong desire around the table to crack down on access to guns. Is that a sentiment that the opposition, the coalition combined, can throw its support behind?
Preventing access to guns to people like those who perpetrate terrorist acts and those who are not friends of our country, absolutely. How we do that is important. That's why seeing the detail is critically important. I think we need to make sure that those who have access to weapons are those who are trusted to do so. Clearly, there are issues with one of the alleged perpetrators who had access to weapons in the number of six. So, sure, changes need to be made, but we need to make sure they're the right ones. And we would like to see the detail before we put any yes or no behind what's being put forward.
You mentioned that the focus needs to be on tackling anti-Semitism as the underlying cause of this attack. We had Gillian Siegel, the envoy for combating anti-Semitism, on the program yesterday. She said she wants an acceleration of a response to her report, but she did say the government had been working closely with her on implementation since she handed that report to government mid-year. What areas in particular do you think the government should be working faster to implement?
Well, I think that Gillian Siegel said it best herself when she said, when you have words of hate being spoken, they give rise to acts of hate. And that's exactly what we've had here. And so when you've got institutions with credibility in our society, like universities, for example, enabling and allowing anti-Semitic behaviour to occur on campus in an almost authorised way, where it is not curtailed, that gives credibility to the claims and arguments being made by certain individuals. That sort of thing, I think, needs to be stamped out as a matter of urgency. That is just one example where the government could act quickly. I mean, there are 49 recommendations. All of them have a degree of importance that impact on a different area. But if we do nothing, and there have been no recommendations being implemented to date, which is the concerning element here. And that's why Ms. Siegel said that there needs to be an acceleration. What happened earlier this week is in the wake of no action from this government on anti-Semitism.
The government has pointed to action it has taken along the lines of the Commonwealth hate speech laws, laws outlawing doxing as elements of Gillian Siegel's recommendations that have been acted on and implemented on. Do you accept that there has been some level of progress, even if it's not to the degree that the opposition is seeking?
Well, and it's not just the opposition seeking, it's the Jewish community. I'm sitting in Bondi right now and I spent the day amongst the community affected by what has happened here. People saying to me, we warned this would happen. We knew this would happen. This is what happens when you don't clamp down. I mean, when you've got individuals in our community openly saying that we need to purge the country of Jewish people or purge the world of Jewish people and it's not dealt with, that is of concern. So we will welcome any action that's taken, but not enough has been. And what has been taken clearly is not enough because of what we saw earlier this week. Nothing has been done that would prevent this from occurring.
Mark Dreyfus, the former Labor Attorney General who introduced the Commonwealth changes to hate speech laws, has suggested it could be wise to revisit those with an eye to strengthening them. We know some states like New South Wales have stronger hate speech laws. Would the Coalition support Commonwealth laws that address hate speech against certain groups, even if it doesn't reach the threshold of inciting violence but merely making hate speech?
I would want to see the detail of any proposal, and twofold. One, it would have to be an effective measure that would protect Australians from hate speech that would then give rise to what activity like we saw earlier in the week. Words of hate that give rise to acts of hate. People are being incited to do these things, as evidenced by what has happened here in Bondi. So I'd want to see the detail, and we need to balance these things against people's freedoms. We are a freedom-loving, tolerant country where people are free to go about their lives in a respectful way, but there is a balance to be struck here.
If I may, you've called very strongly for the government to act more and act quickly, but when it comes to areas where the government is looking at change around gun laws and around hate speech laws, the support that you've offered on behalf of the Coalition is highly conditional. How does that marry with your demands for the government to act strongly and quickly if you're very equivocal about the extent to which you might be willing to support them?
I don't know many people that sign blank checks, Melissa. The conditions I've put on support are I'd like to see the detail. I think that's what any legislator should be asking for before they say, yes, we're going to do it. I've not seen any proposal on hate speech laws in detail. I've not seen any proposal in detail on gun law reform. This is because the government haven't done the things they're talking about, and we had a terrorist act here in Bondi just a few days ago. So forgive me for wanting to see detail about proposals the government probably should have taken some time ago. I think that's the responsible approach from an opposition.
You've been developing the opposition's immigration policy. Do you believe immigration controls are part of the conversation in the wake of this massacre?
As Tony Burke himself said, these are always relevant considerations. I think there are several issues that need to be dealt with here, and we'll have more to say about our own policy in due course. But I think, additionally, the revelations overnight that resourcing relating to the work of agencies in the Commonwealth Government, the AFP and ASIO, is concerning. And, you know, when you have the terror threat level in this country raised to probable last September, but prior to that, the AFP commissioning a report indicating to government that there wasn't enough resourcing to monitor persons of interest in this country, I think is an incredibly concerning revelation. The resourcing of intelligence and law enforcement agencies who are tasked with preventing from happening what happened here in Bondi, I think is very much a central consideration. So you've got individuals from within these organisations now belling the cat on the fact that there isn't enough resource available to actually monitor. I think it was reported today, for every officer monitoring persons of interest, you might have 20 or 30 cases. That's not sustainable.
We heard from Tony Burke before that of the individual concerned in this case, that they had initially been looked at by ASIO for a connection that they had, not for anything that they had done. And there was nothing to suggest that they required monitoring in the years since 2019. Surely, do you think more resourcing could have led to a situation where this case was stopped? That would require monitoring continuously for years with apparently no suggestion that it was required.
Apparently no suggestion, yet the individual in question here has gone and in partnership with another killed 15 innocent Australians. And so I don't think we can look at this and say, well, it wouldn't have made a difference. The reality is, sadly, we should be doing everything we can to prevent this from happening. And, you know, they've downgraded the counter-terror capacity within Home Affairs. That is a concerning development also. So with all of these things together, in the context where our national threat level has been raised to probable, that is more than a 50% chance of events occurring, and we have one occur in Australia just a few days ago, the response should not be tinkering around the edges. let's look at all of the things they're talking about now, like gun law reform and hate speech reform. But there are so many other things they're not talking about, like responding to Gillian Segal's report, like dealing with the resourcing within the intelligence and law enforcement agencies that will actually stop this anti-Semitic and other behaviour from occurring, which has sadly resulted in 15 lives being lost. This has happened on this government's watch.
Shadow Home Affairs Minister John O'Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Melissa.